Hello and welcome to this week's reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. I'm going to start by reading the Bible passage for this week. And it's Psalm 139, Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my beds in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed bodies. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious are to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to account them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we're continuing to look at the topic of image and identity. And when we do, we are faced with the question, what is my identity? How do I know who I am? I recently had to prove my identity by using official documents, my passport and my driving license. But is that all that I am? A series of facts and statistics on a legal document. They surely do not tell me who I am, as they are so arbitrary and yet also easily changeable. I'm getting married in a few months and I'll be changing my name and my title. I will no longer be Miss Alexandra Fisher, but Mrs. Alexandra Camp. So surely my identity cannot be bound up in my name or my title, because that is easily changed, either through something like marriage or by deed poll. But then what about the other details on the legal documentation, like our birth certificates? We have details such as gender, date of birth, where we were born, who our parents are. Do these tell us who we are? Surely they are not the thing that gives us our identity. Some people would argue that their identity is not found in the gender they are born in. And as for date of birth, I know I frequently forget how old I am, and I rarely feel my age. Phrases like, you're only as old as you feel, and at your age, not your shoe size, show that we frequently do not feel or behave like the age that our date of birth says we are. Where we are born. Well, people don't stay in the places they were born in anymore. We all travel around, not just around the country, but around the world. So surely our place of birth does not give us our identity either. We are also not our parents. No matter what our parents were like, while they hate to help to shape us, we are not identified by them. We do not find our identity in our parents. Our souls whisper this prayer to God. You made my whole being. You transformed me in my mother's womb. I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. What you have done is wonderful. I know this very well. So this suggests that identity cannot be found by merely examining the legal identifying documents stating details and statistics. So perhaps our identity is found in what we do. The psalmist talks about God knowing when he sits and when he rises, discerning his going out and his lying down. There is this sense of identity being found in the things we do. One of the first questions we ask when we meet someone we don't know is, what do you do? We like to have a sense of a person by hearing about what they do with their time. And there are often stereotypes attached to different jobs that we somehow use to assign labels to people's identities. For example, accountants are typically said to be boring, bankers are thought to be greedy, and politicians, well, they're liars, aren't they? But of course, this isn't true. These generalisations, these stereotypes, are used to categorise people incorrectly and unfairly. A person's job certainly doesn't reflect a person's identity, because of course our identity cannot be found in the job we do or the role we play. For if it did, what happens when we no longer do that job or perform that role? If you retire from your job or change roles or make a career change, you don't lose your identity. You still exist. It might feel disorientating and difficult, but the core of your identity is not bound by the things you do. This idea that we are what we do is dangerous because it makes us feel like we have to strive to belong, that we have to work hard if we want to fit in. It makes us believe that we need to earn our identity, that in order to have love and acceptance, we need to achieve enough, do enough. But God says no. We don't have to earn his love. In fact, we can't earn his love. It is given freely. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God knows us deeply and he loves us because we are not formed by what we do. Identity does not come from any role or job. Our souls whisper this prayer to God. You made my whole being. You formed me in my mother's body. I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. What you have done is wonderful. I know this very well. So identity isn't found in the statistics and data, and it isn't found in what we do. So perhaps it is in what we think and say. Clearly, the psalmist thought this was part of his identity. He said, "You perceive my thoughts from afar. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." But does this truly reflect our identity? I don't know about you, but I frequently stumble over words. I use the wrong words, and there are times that I just generally say completely the wrong things, things I didn't mean. If my identity is found in the things I say, then my identity must be a very confused, bumbling mess, because quite often that is how my speech comes out. But perhaps my thoughts are a better reflection of my identity. After all, surely they know the inner parts of me and have a valid perspective on it all. But our thoughts are heavily influenced by what others say to us, by what culture tells us, things we read, watch and otherwise consume, such as the media, social media, books, TV. All of this has an impact on what we think and how we think. So even our thoughts are not an accurate representation of who we are. And then, of course, what about when our thoughts are affected by mental illness? Does this mean that we lose our identity? No, because our identity is not found in our thoughts or our understanding of ourselves. Our souls whisper this prayer to God. You made my whole being. You formed me in my mother's body. I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. What you have done is wonderful. I know this very well. So where does our identity come from? Our souls are crying out, reminding us that our identity is found in the one who made us. The psalmist said, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." In this psalm, the psalmist gives us a wonderful reminder that whatever else changes, God is still there, and we can find our identity in him. No matter where we are never invisible to God, and he is there to help us, to lead us. The psalmist even asks, "Where could I go to escape from you? Where could I get away from your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I lay down in the world of the dead, you would be there. If I flew beyond the east or lived in the furthest place in the west, you would be there to lead me. You would be there to help me." I find this incredibly comforting. When it seems like everything in the world is constantly changing, when it is difficult to have a firm grasp on what anything means, God is there, constant and true. And he gives us the assurance that we always find our identity in him. For he created us, unique and precious. He knows every aspect of us, inside and out. Our identity is secure in him. Our souls whisper this prayer to God. You made my whole being. You formed me in my mother's body. I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. What you have done is wonderful. I know this full well.